Welcome to the Amherst Wesleyan Church Sermon Podcast.
Good morning, church. Good morning. As you might have saw in that intro video, it said that my name was Emma Mullen. And that was true when I started working at Connection Church in Truro in partnership with Amherst back in the fall. But as of almost 3 weeks ago, I got married. And so, thank you. So now my last name is Frank. And so it's really exciting to be here with each of you. I just thought that was funny that my last name was in the video. And so I wanted to introduce myself, I think for the first time, kind of formally to some new faces as Pastor Emma Frank, which is super fun. And so I'm glad that I can be here with each of you this morning. As Pastor Brad mentioned, we kind of did a flip-flop, and so Pastor Evan is down at Connection Church in Truro, which is home base for me this morning, and he's actually there with my husband, Austin, who has joined me pastoring down there. So half the team's down there, and then Brad and I are taking care of things up here this morning. Taking care of business, he says. So it's so great to be here. I've met some of you, which has been such a joy, and I haven't met all of you, and I hope I'll have the chance to maybe quickly chat with some of you after service. But right now, we are going to turn to the Word. And so as we do that, I want to invite you to take a deep breath, close your eyes, and bow your heads. We're going to pray before we begin. Holy Spirit, thank you for being in this space already. Thank you for knowing us, for loving us, and being present with us. And so, Spirit, as we turn to the Word and specifically talk about you today, I pray that you would open our eyes, our ears, our hearts, and our minds to see you, to know you, to hear you, and to feel you close by. We know that your presence is in this space with us, but we invite you even more. Make us aware of where you are moving and what you are saying to each of us. We pray this all for your glory and in the name of Jesus. And everyone said, amen. Amen. So we are in a series, which it says right here on the screen, for the summer. We're talking about what do Christians even believe? And so I think this is the fifth week that we're into this series, and we've kind of been going back and forth between some apologetics, which is kind of like our stance in some of those more tough questions and how we flesh those out. I know that last week we talked about kind of evidence for the resurrection, right? So there's lots of things that we've been unpacking, but alongside those things, we've also been talking about some of our basic beliefs as believers in Jesus. And kind of what that looks like what is our foundation? What does the Word say about some of these topics? And so I know Pastor Brad preached up here a couple weeks ago about Jesus and just who is Jesus? What does it mean that we follow him? And so today we're going to be talking about the Holy Spirit. And so who is the Holy Spirit to us and how do we engage with him? I'm going to start right off the bat by giving us kind of the main point of this message, and it is this. The more receptive you are to the Holy Spirit, the closer you become with Jesus. So, again, as we turn to the Word, and I will give you a heads up, I have two pages here that are really a long list of references of scriptures. And I'm going to kind of just fire them out. I'm not going to flip and read every single one of them. If any of you are interested in having this list afterwards, I'd be happy to share it. So this is going to be a very scripture-heavy sermon, but as we kind of unpack who we learn the Holy Spirit is through his word, this is kind of the main point, that the more receptive we are to the Spirit, the closer we become with Jesus. So we're going to start by making some parallels between the Old Testament and the New Testament. And so it's kind of fleshing out a little bit the story we have of the Holy Spirit. So it starts that God created, right? Right back in Genesis. God created the world and humans, and he walked with us, next to us, presently. That was the Spirit, the Holy Spirit. He walked with us in the garden until we sinned and we hid from him, Many of us know the story of Adam and Eve in the garden. And so a little later on, in the time of Moses, God wanted to give direction to his people again. He's like, let's do this again. Let's restart. Let's try this again. But they were too scared to listen. There's a verse from Exodus chapter 20 where it says that they wanted to hear from the Lord, but they didn't want to see him or hear from him directly because they were fearful that they would die if they heard from God. And so then a little bit later, in Exodus 24, just four chapters later, Moses goes to the mountain to hear from God, and it looks like a consuming fire descending on the mountain. And we recognize that that was the Holy Spirit. So God gives them the Ten Commandments and the law on these stone tablets. And you see, an interesting piece of the context of that part in our history and in our Bible is that this took place during the 50 days of Passover, which we hear that phrase in Jesus' time as well. And it was also known as the Festival of Pentecost, which we know from the book of Acts is when the Holy Spirit came. And so how interesting is it that as they're getting these laws and the commandments and hearing from the Lord with this fire on the mountain, that was during this time that we know as Pentecost. We know that the Spirit was present there. And so 50 days after Jesus' crucifixion, the disciples gathered for that same festival that happened every year. And you see, the prophets had predicted throughout the Old Testament that a time would come that God would write his law on their hearts, but also put his Spirit in his people. And so at this time of the festival, after Jesus' crucifixion, we read the story from Acts chapter 2, which is the one I'm going to read. This is kind of our main passage for the morning. And I want to start just with a little excerpt from chapter 1 and then hop over to chapter 2. But the book of Acts was written by Luke, who also wrote the Gospel of Luke. And so he starts it saying this. He says, "In my former book," referring to the Gospel of Luke, "I wrote about all the things that Jesus began to do and teach until the day he was taken up to heaven, after giving instructions through the Holy Spirit to the apostles he had chosen. After his suffering, he presented himself to them and gave many convincing proofs that he was, in fact, alive. He appeared to them over a period of 40 days and spoke about the kingdom of God. On one occasion, while he was eating with them, he gave them this command, 'Do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father has promised, which you have heard me speak about. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit.'" This is that gift that he was talking about. Flip over to the beginning of chapter 2 in Acts. It says, "When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Suddenly a sound like a blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them." This is Pentecost. This is the infilling of the Holy Spirit. You see, as we kind of walk through that little bit of history from the Old Testament to the New, God's goal was that we would have his Spirit within us, that we would be able to relate to him and know him from having the Spirit. And so then, if we take some time to kind of examine the New Testament, what does the New Testament say about the Holy Spirit? Well, specifically, what did Jesus say about the Holy Spirit? There's a couple key passages, specifically in John chapters 14 to 16, in Luke chapter 11, and Acts chapter 1, which we just read a portion of. This is kind of what Jesus says about the Holy Spirit. He says that the Holy Spirit will be our guide, that he will guide us, that we must be born of the Spirit, that he will be our advocate, our comforter, our helper, and that he will enable us to do greater things than Jesus did. That's what Jesus said about the Spirit. And then much of the New Testament was written by the Apostle Paul, and Paul, in his writings, had plenty to say about the Holy Spirit. And this is kind of the spitfire, rapid fire of some of these verses. These are all from Paul. This is what he said about the Holy Spirit. In Romans 8, he said, the Holy Spirit intercedes for us on behalf of our relationship with the Lord. The Holy Spirit intercedes. In 1 Corinthians 12, it says that we are the body of Christ and that we have gifts of the Spirit that we are able to use in this body to function and to bring glory to God through our togetherness as the church. Galatians 5 talks about the fruit of the Spirit, that he produces this fruit in us, that he is connected to us and we are able to grow and then bear something good. The fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. 1 Corinthians 6 says that we are the temple of the Holy Spirit, that our very bodies are holy and set apart when the Holy Spirit dwells within us. Romans 5 says that he gives us hope, and we know that Jesus is our living hope. Romans 8 says that he is the Spirit of Jesus and is to be in us, in our hearts. 1 Corinthians 2 says we are taught by the Spirit, that as we engage with the Word, it is the Spirit that helps these things click, that helps our spirits to understand what the Holy Spirit is doing. Ephesians 5 says we are to be taught by the Holy Spirit, but also to be filled with the Holy Spirit, that it is an infilling, that he comes and abides within, taking up the space that once might have been empty or filled with the wrong things. Ephesians 1 says, the Holy Spirit is our guarantee of what comes next. He is the one that once we are saved gives us this confidence in who Jesus is, in what we believe, that gives us kind of the lens and the perspective to see the way that God is moving in our world today. 1 Corinthians 2 says, the Holy Spirit is the only way to understand God. Romans 8 says, he dwells in you. Galatians 5 again says that we are to walk by the Spirit, suggesting that he is not only present and longs to be within us, but that he longs to guide us, but also be in every single step. Not just guide us in a general sense of go maybe that way for a while and then figure it out, but every step we are to walk by the Spirit. And the final one is from Titus. It says that the Spirit regenerates us. As we talked about the resurrection last week, I think Pastor Evan preached last week, is that right? So we were talking about the resurrection and what it means that Jesus raised from the grave, and that resurrection power lives within us. Well, it's the Holy Spirit that does that work, that regenerates us, that brings us from death to life, that makes us a new creation. I want you to imagine for a second. Imagine you're, and you can fill in the blank here, your favorite musician, your favorite actor or writer, maybe speaker, someone that you admire and look towards, maybe a role model, and not someone you know, but someone that maybe you just know of. Let's say that you had the opportunity to learn from them, that you were learning from them, you paid attention to what they said or what they shared, that you were kind of studying the way that they live, how they approach things, and you were trying to understand them. And then one day, maybe you get to meet them, and then you get to spend time with them and firsthand get to experience that idea of learning from them and getting to know them more on a firsthand basis. Now, imagine walking around with Jesus himself. You're listening to him teach many people. You're seeing him perform miracles, raise people from the dead. He is speaking, and people are changing and transforming because of his words in front of your eyes. He talks directly to you. He talks directly to you and explains the scriptures, tells you what they mean, how they give life, and he sees right into your heart. He knows what you're thinking and what you're going to say before a word is ever on your tongue. But he still cares and he still listens. Wouldn't that be amazing? If we were able to have that firsthand experience of walking with Jesus, seeing him in physical form, just like we see the people sitting next to us today. Well, it may look different, but that's what we have with the Holy Spirit. It is Jesus with us, with each of us, as the body of Christ, but also as individuals. Right here and right now, he is with us. The Spirit dwells, the Spirit speaks, the Spirit is alive. And we actually have access to him. Maybe we hear that, or maybe we're in a church or a space before when we were younger where you heard you have to just raise your hand for this commitment thing and then you were going to get into heaven and that was the end of the story. And maybe just stay out of trouble in the meantime. But the reality is that the Spirit longs to engage with us in this active and vibrant relationship because He is here now, He is alive now, and He has work to do in each of us right now. He isn't just limited to one place or one person at a time. He is available to all of us who choose to relate to Him, who choose to engage with Him. I want to highlight our main point one more time. If you want to go to that slide, the more receptive you are to the Holy Spirit, the closer you become with Jesus. We kind of just, again, did that spitfire of all those scriptures, all the different ways that the Bible paints this picture of who this Holy Spirit is. And as we are more receptive to Him, as we listen more closely, we become more like Jesus as we walk as His disciples. And so the Holy Spirit is with us, each of us, in our unique circumstances. When you find yourself being tempted to lie, to give in to lust, to be proud, to be greedy, whatever you fill that blank with, and you'd find that you just say no and then that desire leaves, that's the work of the Spirit. When you have no words or no answers for someone and then the words just come, the response comes, and it meets them right where they are. When the pain is overwhelming and you feel stuck, but there's this sense of peace that overshadows it all. When everything seems to be going wrong, and for once in your life, maybe you don't feel numb, or maybe you don't have a desire to lean on a negative coping mechanism, but you actually just know that it's okay, that you're gonna be okay, that God has a plan and purpose for you. That's the Spirit. When people say to you, there's just something different about you, I'm not sure about you, but I've had friends that just being in the same room with them or going to the grocery store with them, you'd see people kind of turning their heads and thinking, they are so joyful, they are so filled with life, and they'd even be asked. And sometimes I was just the friend that was with them that maybe I wasn't getting asked the same thing. Believe it or not, I'm an introvert, so sometimes I get a little shy, and maybe I don't get that asked that question a lot. But just last week, Austin and I were invited to be the speakers at Teen Camp at Snyder Mountain Ranch, or some might know it as Circle Square, over in Sussex, New Brunswick. So we were there all last week. And as we engaged with some of these teens, there was a handful of them, and a lot of them actually weren't from Christian backgrounds. However they got to camp, I don't know, but I know the Lord was working. But plenty of them approached us, and they said, oh, I got a question for you. And they were pretty logical about it. They said, all these people here, like the ones working in the kitchen, and the ones like running the activities, and my counselor, and you guys, the speakers. And actually, it's funny, like they didn't understand, so much so that some of them would come after the service, give us a fist bump, and say, I liked your inspirational TED Talk. Like they didn't have a grasp, right? So they're thinking, and they say, I don't know, all you guys, all these people here, there's something different. Like there's something different about you. What is that? And so many of these teens ask that question. That's the Spirit. That is the work of the Holy Spirit. That they would enter that space, and just by living a mundane week where you eat lunch and eat breakfast and brush your teeth and do an activity together, that they knew there was something different. That maybe they didn't see in the world, that maybe they didn't see in their family or their community, their neighborhood or their school. There's something different. That is the presence of the Spirit. The Holy Spirit with us can be seen when there's a grudge that we have or unforgiveness or bitterness that dissipates and disappears. When we're desperate for provision in whatever means that may be, and what do you know? The money shows up, or things go further than you expected, and that God is providing for you. That's the work of the Spirit. That conversations you're trying to have as you're talking to people and trying to plant seeds, that they actually start to progress, that others start to ask questions in spaces where you thought, I have to work really hard to kind of get my faith into this conversation, and suddenly they're the ones initiating it. When the chaos in your mind and the never-ending to-do list quiets. When the pages and the words on your Bible start to jump out at you, that they start to make sense more and more, that they click and it feels engaging. When your kids react to you differently. When you put in the best you can, and maybe you still feel like it wasn't enough, but it makes an unbelievable difference. When you sing when you couldn't before, or you lead when you couldn't before, when you see answers that seem to be hidden before, when you feel like you aren't fighting sin or temptation inside you so much anymore, because you are more and more loving, as you continue to serve more and more, as you are more giving and more surrendering, that is the work of the Spirit. When your living hope in Jesus overwhelms your fears, not the other way around. When you notice more and more of what God is doing around you and the way maybe he's whispering for you to engage in different spaces, and you just choose to join in, that is the work of the Spirit. When you pray and those prayers are answered, when you get better at your job or the things that these gifts that God has given you and you lean in and it feels like it's going somewhere, when you see miracles happen, these are all indicators of a life that is being led by the Spirit. And so for application, there are two key points I want to bring to mind. The first is to surrender to Jesus. Can we put that slide up with the main point again? I think that this point even, I'm thinking out loud, can almost go two ways. Because when we choose to lean into the person of Jesus, as we read about him in the Gospels, and we reach a point where we know of him, and maybe we know him personally, more and more every day, as we continue to be discipled by his word and by the people that lead his church. When we choose to do that and lean into this relationship, I think getting closer to Jesus also helps us be more receptive of the Spirit. These things go in tandem. They're holding hands, right? And so we are able to engage with Jesus and engage with our Heavenly Father and engage with the Spirit, the Trinity, three in one. And as we choose to do that, as we choose to surrender our lives, knowing that he is God and we are not, as we choose to do that, he is able to come and move. And so that's the first application, which some of us hear that phrase, surrender to Jesus, and we think of an altar call or a conversion conversation. But the reality is we must choose to surrender to him daily, even the small things, even the things that come and go. It might not seem big enough to bring in prayer. He asks us to surrender it all to him. So first, we must surrender to Jesus. And second, we must let the Holy Spirit take over every part of ourselves. Don't push back on what he's trying to do. We are holistic beings. We have a physical body. We have physical needs like food and water. But we also have a soul and a spirit. We have a mind and we have a need for community. All these things are to be given to Jesus. All of these things are spaces where the Spirit wants to work. He wants to do something in us, starting from the inside out. But we must be willing to give him all the things. It reminds me of the illustration that our hearts or our innermost beings, whatever phrase you want to use for that, is like a house. And maybe Jesus knocks on the front door and we let him come into the hallway or the foyer, but we lock all the other doors and say, I don't want you in there. I have stuff in there that I want to keep. What Jesus is saying, what he wants us to do, is by the power of the Holy Spirit to be willing to unlock any door to him and let him take out what maybe we've been holding on to for too long. Let him come and refresh the space. Because what Jesus wants to do there, I promise you, it's not worse than what was there before. It's actually so much better. He speaks a better word over our lives, and he longs to give us a life that is abundant and full through the power of the Spirit. Pray honestly and listen for him. And when it feels like he speaks, say yes. Go along with it. Lean in. Don't question. Some people say, how do I know if God's speaking to me? Well, we believe that all of these are his word, which sometimes we think, you know, the passage from John 1, like the word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and the word is Jesus. But do we actually understand, like, these are God's words? Words are spoken, but they're also written. And so this can be Jesus and the Holy Spirit working and speaking through us just the same. Sometimes people might hear a little whisper. Sometimes they feel like the Spirit's moving and speaking to them through others that they are engaging with in accountable relationships, from wise counsel, other people who are maybe further along in their season with Christ than you are. The Lord can speak in many ways. But when we have an understanding of what that is, and we open our hands and say, help me to believe when you're speaking, and help me to listen and obey when you're speaking, he will speak. We need to choose to follow his steps, to take actions that give us clarity on things, even if we don't understand how it might work out in the long run. We need to cut out the junk noise, the noise that is distracting, that drowns out the voice of Jesus, the things that maybe desensitize us or lead us astray. We need to read or listen to the Bible. Just like I said, it is God's word to us. It will help us recognize what else the Holy Spirit might want to say, because it will never contradict the word. We need to ask for feedback from others to see what God is doing in them and maybe in your community, but also what they see in you that maybe you can't see. And I think in that, there's a lot of this space of development. I think of the illustration that we are the potter. No, we are the clay and he is the potter. And so this idea that we are being molded into something. And no matter how long we have of walking with Jesus on this earth, we are being molded into something. He has us in his hands. And so sometimes we're not aware of the things that are being molded and shifted and changed, but the people around us are. And the reality is that every single person in here, if you have the Holy Spirit dwelling within you, he has given you gifts, and he has given you abilities and talents that are to be used for the kingdom, that will bring him honor, that will bring him glory, but they are also for our good. We need to be willing to stop and ask him to be present. Ask for his guidance, not just in the morning when we wake up or in the evening before we go to bed or a quick prayer of thanks at a meal, but all the time, because he wants to be with us all the time. And finally, we need to be willing to let go and embrace what he wants, because like I said, it will always be better than our own plans. Sometimes we can have a closed fist on things or a locked door in the house of our hearts, but Jesus wants us to be open to him. That is where the Holy Spirit is able to work the most. So I'm going to invite the team to come back up for worship. We're going to do three more songs. But my encouragement to each of us is that maybe as we've been hearing about the Holy Spirit and who he can be for us, I want you to take a second and engage with him personally. Maybe there's a thing that the Spirit has been stirring in you, nudging you on, or asking you to respond to. Maybe something that he's been convicting you about. And I want us over the next couple songs to engage with the music, yes, but also engage in a personal space and say yes to the Spirit, to let him move. Because the more receptive you are to the Holy Spirit, the closer you become with Jesus.
Thanks for listening and being part of our church and joining us in this journey to become down-to-earth people following Jesus in down-to-earth ways.